You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
You know, you realize, folks, how ridiculous these cell phones are and that people text people and they expect you to actually respond to texts?
It's modern technology, Joe.
Okay. Joe, you didn't even know if you got them.
Do you send texts? Yes, you do.
Yes, I do, and I respond to them as I learned from the young people. They respond to almost anything on
them. How are you going to describe Snapchat IPO when you don't even know how to text?
First of all, I would say you're lucky you didn't get it because it's going to go down. I mean, that's it. But in the long run, the Snapchat, what is it?
Snapchat.
They say that it is going to be pretty substantial, right?
Yes.
Because kids send pictures.
Right.
You know, boy, oh boy. You realize,
that's what they said about Facebook.
Let me ask you a question. Have you girls working in your office?
Yes.
Do you allow them to have their cell phone at their desk?
Absolutely.
So you lose 6 hours a day out of an 8-hour day with them on the phone?
No, my employees don't abuse it. If they did, then I would tell them they can't make personal
Do you watch
goals.
Them every minute?
Well, my office. They're literally.
Well, no wonder you don't get any work done. You're watching them all the time.
I don't watch them, but I can hear if they're on the phone.
No, but if they text, see?
No, I couldn't tell if they're texting.
They're texting, and that's what everybody does. They text like crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, my girlfriend.
You know, as long as they get their work done, then why do we care?
Well, then it doesn't make any difference. That's right. However, how do you know they're getting their work done? You say, well, I can only handle one case a day. Well, the other girl can handle three. Well, that's because I got 4 hours a day I'm texting.
But aren't you defeating the purpose talking about texting rather than saying to people we have a phone number that you could call to participate in the show, and that
exactly.
number is 888-221-8990.
So if you want to vent about texting, this is old people venting about texting day, because I'm unfortunately the oldest one here. Alan, are you not older
no,
than me?
No, he's not older.
Than this is not a pretty picture.
No, you know. But you never have been, Joe.
Well, that's true too. Now that I'm thinking about it. But just think, if I dropped dead right this minute, you would not be the oldest person here, Vince.
No, I wouldn't.
But if that's because Alan showed today.
That's right. And Alan would take over the
Alan
show.
Alan would take over. All right,
and he would have to just roll it out.
I think there'd be a compliance problem there. I really do.
Well, actually, there'd be no compliance problem because nobody'd be licensed here.
Well, yeah, but we do things other than financial on this show that needs licensing. I'm licensed.
Really?
Yeah.
When did that happen?
It happened about 3 years ago.
I got a buddy of mine.
About 30 years.
I know.
35 years ago.
All of a sudden, hey, start adding the
maybe it's even more than
maybe more than that.
Don't want to think about it.
Team Martech started doing radio shows back at around 2004, and again, the only reason I say at or around, because none of us really, well, the original members don't remember when we started, but we knew we started before Hurricanes Francis and Jean, so we're using 2004 as our number.
That's when you know you're getting old, if you can't remember something like that.
That's what it is, you know?
What do you mean getting older? I've arrived.
He's been arrived for years.
I've been arrived. You know, I'm a senior citizen? No, I'm a well-seasoned senior citizen. Anyway,
well-seasoned? Well, we're not going to find out.
Yeah, well, it's not all garlic powder, I'm telling you. Anyway, there's some oregano in there. Anyway, the concept of the show when we first started doing it, Joe Martech's a financial advisor. In spite of the fact that we play and have fun on this show, folks, let me just tell you, we've got a very serious group of local professionals that have earned their stripes, who have been in business a long, long time, and we also have special guests once in a while. We even invite in old attorneys on occasion once in a while to help stir the pot. You know, I don't know who I'd be talking about, but, you know, there's a guy sitting at the end of the table here.
Is he Messianic Jew?
Messianic Jewish attorney. Can you imagine? What a boy, oh boy. It kind of reminds me of Sammy Davis Jr.
Yes.
Continue. Yes. Because one time Sammy was playing in a golf tournament, and they said, Sammy, what's your handicap? Now, you got to be old to know who Sammy Davis Jr. is. Those of you that are un-old, this was back in the Frank Sinatra days and Dean Martin, and they used to call these guys
the Rat Pack,
right? Mm-hmm. Well, they asked Sammy what his handicap was, and he says, isn't being a one-eyed black Jew enough of a handicap? Now, those of you that don't know, Sammy was a little guy, about 5'5" or 6". He was black and African-American. Back then, we didn't use that word. And he did have one eye. So he had lost his eyesight in one. So being a one-eyed black, and obviously, I think he must have converted to Judaism at some point down the road. I mean, you should help me with these things, Vince.
I don't remember when he converted, but I just remember always.
It's coming back, right? Yeah.
He was always Jewish to me.
Always Jewish to you?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He converted fairly young. I don't know exactly, but he was professed Judaism for a long time.
Yeah, so I think that's the only I ever know about him, was that he was Jewish.
Anyway.
That was it.
Now, where that came from, I don't know, out of the context we were talking about, but the concept of the group was local professionals here to help people. And when I started these shows, I needed or wanted to find a local attorney, because very often when I meet a new client or a suspect or a prospect, I talk about wills and trusts, and I feel that the cart and the horse need to be put in a proper order. And I just kind of, I look at it as a responsibility to be a financial advisor, a financial planner, that you stir the pot in the efforts to get people's lives organized. So Greg Fasula, attorney, and why Greg? Number one, when I first started in my practice, I would meet with a lot of attorneys. Let's say that I was going to talk to Mike Paulus, who lives in Hope Sound, and I wanted to talk about a will or trust. So what I would do is go find a local attorney that lived relatively close to where he lived or worked. Then I'd go interview the attorney. Now, have you ever noticed this, Mike? Alan, you might notice this because you're an attorney. Alan's a guest star on the show here. He's a prosecuting attorney and a financial advisor from a history standpoint. Very often, an attorney can be very nice to you when you're on a peer level.
True. But the opposite is also true.
The opposite is also true. So
because
what would happen
going
is
against them.
I would interview these guys, and they were nice. You know, and I'd say, hey, I'm going to bring you a client and want to talk about wills and trusts, and I just want to do the right thing for my client. And they'd say, hey, no problem. And we'd get in there, and all of a sudden, they'd put on their pretentious, arrogant hat, and all of a sudden, they'd be talking down to these people and using four-syllable words. Then I find out what they were going to charge for this ridiculous service, and that was the last time I went there. And at 20-some years ago, I met Greg Fasula. Greg happened to be a good listener, happened to be a very nice gentleman. He wasn't arrogant. He wasn't pretentious. Just a flat good person. And then, Lord, I can't believe this, he wasn't expensive.
Whoa!
I mean, scary. He actually, you know, and we've all seen him. And Alan, you've seen them. Attorneys that do these great big books, and they call them trust, and they stamp gold on them, and they charge a fortune for that book, and they put 2 pounds of fluff and 8 ounces or 6 ounces of meat. Greg skips the fluff. His trusts, all of his documents are meat. No potatoes, no salad. He gets down to what people need. And that's just been near and dear to me. And I have never had one person ever, in all these years, ever complain about Greg Fasula, because he just goes out of his way to help people.
He's very, very knowledgeable, John.
The second part of it, and if Dan was sitting here, who was the second member of the group, independent insurance agent, critical word, independent. Those that have lived in Florida since 1992 when Hurricane Andrew hit, and Andrew devastated South Dade County, and not only that, put 10 to 15 insurance companies out of business. Now, luckily, those companies were admitted companies in the state of Florida to do business, which means the state of Florida became your partner, and they would guarantee that these companies paid claims. So they got paid. Sometimes they were a little slower than, let's say, the more established companies, but they all got done. Well, all of a sudden, after Hurricane Andrew hit, people started to get non-renewed, all kinds of big companies said, hey, we're lopping off half of our business because we're going to get downgraded. Then all of a sudden the rates would double and triple and quadruple for insurance. So I needed a, quote, independent insurance agent that didn't work for one company. He worked for the insured, and he represented many, many companies. So Dan, in my not too humble opinion, is the premier insurance agent on the Treasure Coast. He's got roughly 100 companies under his umbrella, not all car or home, but every flame and form of insurance. And Dan's office just does a fantastic job for people. How many testimonials? You know, Vince, you and I hardly ever get a testimonial, but Dan gets
them. Well, he gets them all the time.
I have another testimonial for Dan.
Oh, see, wonderful. There you go.
Go ahead. I had a
customer that I referred to Dan, and after the transaction closed, something happened with the insurance company, and they ended up dropping my customer.
Okay.
And she was quite upset, and she was very difficult to get a hold of. She's a teacher, so I called Dan. We conference called on his cell phone. He said, no problem. I'll wait here as long as it takes for you to get here after the school closed. And he stayed there for it. And he does whatever it takes to satisfy that customer.
You know, Dan's just a flat good guy, too. Yep. So when we started doing the shows, the concept was the three of us got. And then times changed.
Oh, yes.
Things happened. We had a recession. Unbelievably bad recession.
The Great Recession?
The Great Recession.
2008?
So then Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, became a critical part because real estate became a monster subject. Words like short sales, which we had never had before, besides deed backs and foreclosures and the rest of it, which led us. And at about that time, I bumped into this CPA.
Who was that, Pertell?
Can you imagine that actually happened?
Yeah.
And I'd been interviewing CPAs for a few years. And the biggest problem I had with most CPAs were they were competitors of mine.
Mm, that's true. That's the first thing you asked me.
Yeah.
Do you have a
Series 6 or 7
license? I said, I used to.
Well, you know what happens is, and not that this is a bad thing, but very often a CPA, he's got 100, 200, 500 clients that he's doing their taxes. He knows their money intimately and everything about them. So he can easily switch hats and say, hey, I'm now going to sell you some investments. My bit, and one of the reasons that Vince Rizzino has become a good friend of mine is that it's hard to wear two hats. And if you're going to be a professional, it's very hard to serve two masters.
You know, your clients begin to look at you a little differently, Joe. That's what I've found.
Yeah.
Because then they, you know, all of a sudden your credibility is undermined, they think, because you're trying to sell them a product. Yeah. All of a sudden you're walking in with a bag of stuff. And you're trying to sell them. That's the impression you give them, that you're just trying to sell them. They didn't like that.
Plus, how can you be a true professional in multiple aspects?
Well, that's my point. So,
well, they were pushing it, though, back then. The big brokerage houses. It's even today, I get letters from the big brokerage houses. They all want to align with me.
Oh, yeah.
They want to do a partnership.
No doubt about it.
I tell them, no thanks.
And I have known in the past, and people actually admired and respected, that were wearing both hats, and one in particular had 25 tax clients, 25 only. Now, these are all substantial people.
Mm-hmm.
So she knew those 25 clients intimately, but she was also a stockbroker. But she worked, I'm talking, constantly at learning on how to help these people, and I give her credit for that. But she's one of the few that, you know, when you've got a couple 300 clients and you're going to try to do the right thing for every one of them, and it's almost impossible.
You know what, the for me, Joe, it was the overhead involved with your business.
Yeah.
I mean, because in order, you need a secretary or an assistant, somebody to process the paper.
Yeah.
You got to send it out to the client. You got to get the due diligence done, all that. And it takes time.
Yeah.
And if you're trying to do it yourself and manage your business,
no,
you can't do it. So what does it mean? At the beginning, you got to go hire somebody.
Yep.
Well, guess what? You're in the hole for about 6 months.
And worse than that is you also got to train them.
That's right. You have to train them the right way.
And that's hard to do also, because now you have to learn it all first so you can train them, which is taking time out of what you're supposed to be your chosen profession.
Exactly. That's why I got out.
Leads me to Mike Paulus.
All right.
How many years has it been, Mike?
28. Wow. In the business?
Yeah, in the business, 28.
Yeah, 20.
How many years have you been part of the group here?
Well, I'm like you. I forgot when I started.
Oh! He's getting old, too.
You're not as old as you.
It's five or six.
Yeah, I think it's been about 4 or 5
probably
years.
Probably 4 or 5
it's
years.
Been a good while.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike became a critical member because, not that everybody else is not, but what happened during this real estate bubble, when the world came to an, well, I shouldn't say a bubble, was a real estate flat.
Yeah. We were on the verge.
And we had major grief, and then all of a sudden the media was saying there's no mortgage money available, you can't finance anything. It's impossible. And mm-hmm. Mike would say, what are they talking about? You know, we've always had VA programs, always had FHA programs, always had this, always had that. The difference today is people have to prove they can pay. Can yes. you imagine that?
Holy cow.
Which is not a bad thing.
Well, you know, it's back to the old rules. And that was the original rules, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac guidelines, way back in the when I was at a mortgage company. Mm-hmm. It was simple. Prove you can afford to pay.
Yeah. And there's I don't think anyone's arguing that fact. It's just a lot of the compliance issues that really become burdensome and actually significantly adds cost to getting a mortgage.
Well, and you know what happens is, as we all know, and Alan, it's all your fault because you're an attorney. when attorneys get involved in things, you ever notice that the documentation keeps getting thicker and more and more and more?
That's because they charge you by the pound.
They charge you by the pound, right? That's about it.
Well, a lot of this stems from the Dodd-Frank error, and yeah. hopefully some things will change with that. But
they're talking about changing. Yeah. You know, the new boy on the block is talking about making life more user-friendly. Hey, speaking of what, we're going to call. We're going to have to interrupt. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes, hi, Mr. Martek. I've been enjoying your show so much. I made up my mind I was going to listen again today because I have some questions, too.
Good girl.
All right, here's my question, sir. I'm 65 years old. I have a regular IRA standard, just some stocks, and I also have a IRA standard, and I want to pay off some bills. What would be your advice? Which one do you think would be at my age to get rid of, just to take care of some bills first?
Well, number one, if it's an IRA and what's called a traditional IRA, that's money that you put in that you never pay tax on. Does that make sense?
So right.
If you never pay tax on that and now you want to take money out, every dime you take out is going to be subject to ordinary income tax.
Correct.
Now, there's no other form of tax in the state of Florida except ordinary income tax, but are you still working or are you retired?
I'm retired.
Okay. Now you've got Social Security income, am I right?
Correct.
And do you have other income besides Social Security?
Retirement.
Okay. Now let me just wear Vince's hat. Vince Rossino sitting here right now. Are you a single lady? Are you married? What's the story?
I'm married. Uh-huh.
And yeah, that means you still have a husband hanging around, right?
Yes.
Hanging around.
Okay. Well, is he retired?
Yes, military disabled.
Okay, so he's hanging around a lot, and he's driving you nuts. No, I can't talk that. Never forget that part. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is, so he's got an income, and a lot of that income is tax-free, is it not, his disability income?
Right, that's correct.
And does he also get Social Security?
Yes, uh-huh.
And you get Social Security and a pension, correct?
Correct.
Now, here comes the magic part, and this is a tough one. Vince Rossino, CPA, sitting here. Let's take that couple, Vince.
Mm-hmm.
His disability income is not subject to tax, right?
Right.
His Social Security is. Her Social Security
is. Well,
is
it Social Security disability, caller?
Or
is it just from a private insurance company disability?
Or is it from the government?
Or is it a government disability?
From the government.
if it's Social Security disability, that's taxable as well.
Now, what about military? Is his disability because of the military?
No, if it was in the line of duty, I think that would be exempt.
That'd be tax exempt. Mm-hmm. So is his disability service oriented or is it not?
Yes, service oriented.
Okay, so that's now tax free income, right?
Right.
So now, how much is your pension, not your Social Security, your check per month?
About $1,500.
Okay. So you know, between the two of you, you've got $1,500 plus your two Social Securities. You're paying some tax, right, Vince?
Mm-hmm. I would say so, yes. Some of the Social Security would be taxable.
Yeah. So what happens is, yes, if you start taking money out of that IRA, you might end up causing more of your Social Security to get taxed also. Vince, am I not right?
That's correct. It's the higher your income level,
right,
the higher the percentage of the Social Security gets taxed. But the max is 85%. So
yeah,
you reach a point where only 85% of your Social Security is taxable.
It's subject to tax, right. Now, here comes the $64,000 question. Do you have a person that helps you with your taxes?
No, actually, I had been going online doing it.
Now, this might end up costing you some money, because if you get a professional, like I happen to know one sitting across from me, that would counsel you, and if he might be able to save you some money by making sure your taxes were done properly, because I you're not the first person that I've listened to that I've had this question. And Vince, I know you get it quite often when people are trying to take money out of an IRA to pay bills. But if all of a sudden it creates, let's say you take out $5,000, but it moves your tax bracket up and you start paying tax on your Social Security,
right?
You might end up with 40% of that check going in the form of taxes.
That's unfortunately, you're right, Joe. And you might want to go and try to go to other avenues, other, let's call it non-retirement accounts first.
Do you have any other savings accounts that are not IRAs?
Well, no, it says I have IRA with some stocks.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah, I understand. But here's what happens. What your money's
IRA.
What your money's invested in is not important. It can be in stock, it can be in bonds, mutual funds, it can be in the bank. But as long as it's called a traditional IRA, that means there's never been taxed. So if you cash in stock or if you take the money out of the bank and it's labeled IRA, it's all subject to ordinary income tax. So
right.
Here's
and,
where
and it may kick your Social Security up.
It may
more,
kick your
more Social of that'll be taxable too.
Here's what I'm going to suggest. We're not going to talk about this on the phone because Vince has got personal questions he'd need to ask, and it's best off that we don't go into that. But I want you to call Vince Rosino in his office and ask him these questions and see how he can help you.
Absolutely. Okay.
Are you at home right now?
I'm in the driveway.
Okay, that's why I don't want you crashing anybody, because I'm going to give you Vince's office phone number. In fact, I'm not going to give it to you. He is, because I don't know what it is.
You don't know?
Well, I forget. I'm old.
Oh, Lord. It's 772 area code. 22.
Okay.
It's 221-9930.
Okay.
And I'm on extension 10.
What you?
Okay. 772-221-9930.
Correct.
Extension 10.
So what you do is give him a call tomorrow, and he'll counsel you over the phone and try to get so you're not in trouble. If you, it shows you what you can take. Now, unfortunately, this is Vince. Let me ask you another question. This is now March.
Mm-hmm.
Could she take out a portion of the IRA based on last year's taxes and another portion based on this year's taxes this late in the year?
As long as she hasn't filed her tax return yet, she can take it out distribution against
both years.
Mm-hmm.
So she could take a check this week and one next week and count one for last year's taxes.
I'm sorry, Joe, I gotta back up. That's not correct what I just said.
Not, you can't do that?
No, you cannot take it out against last year. You can make a contribution against last year, but
you
can't take it out.
Okay, so much for that. Anyway, first of all, I'm giving you opinions not on enough knowledge. That's why I've got Vince here. So give him a buzz tomorrow. Let him counsel you and see how he can help you. Does that sound okay?
Yes, that sounds very good. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for
Look
calling.
Forward to your call.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
And then, Vince, when you're done, you might just counsel a hair and look and see what she's invested in. I bet you, even though she said stock, very seldom have I seen pure stock in most IRAs, because if it came from somebody, oftentimes they're in mutual funds and it may be in bond funds, which also scares me now.
And it could be that, like you say, they put it into autopilot. You know, they invested in it at some point and just let it sit there.
Let it sit, yeah. And how many times have we seen that? In fact, I had a client, relatively substantial, came in the office. They're on the third trip, because it's a substantial client. And I looked at their portfolio, and they had a ton of money in bond funds. And I said, look, if you never do business with me, I would call yesterday and get rid of the bond funds. Because, Mike, you know, Vince, you know, Alan, you know, and Dave, you might even know now, that when interest rates start to go up, the value of bonds goes down.
Yep.
And we are due for an increase in interest rates next week.
Yep.
And the odds are good. There will be a couple more this year, so that means anybody that has these quote bond funds, now especially, Alan, stay with me, I'm not talking pure bonds, I'm talking bond funds.
Right. To explain that, it's a It's a pool of money that is put into many different bonds, but wrapped up in one envelope.
And then what happens is, when interest rates go up and these bond funds are paying X, literally the value of the fund goes down, because let's say they're paying 5%. And all of a sudden, interest rates go up and the new ones are paying 6. Well, nobody wants your 5%ers. They want the new ones for 6. So if you want to sell them, you take a discount. Now, every once in a while, I find an exception. If a person has pure bonds, not bond funds, with a 10, 20-year stretch that are paying 6 and 7%, and I have seen such things. I haven't seen them for years. I tell people, I said, look, you mark down, I am dead. Don't cash these bonds. These things are impossible to find today. Old instruments that are paying 6 and 7, pure bonds that are paying 6 and 7%.
Well, how does a rising interest rate environment affect the exchange traded debts that we constantly talk about on the show?
Now, the interesting thing is they do, but not as, and I don't understand this exactly, but these things have a shorter window for call. Like right now, the one that's with Florida Power is going to get called probably this September. So they have a par value, and if they get called at par and we bought it for less than par, guess what?
You
we
made
just made
you
a
win.
Profit. Yeah. So what I'm looking at is there is no such thing that's 100% safe except the bank. You go in the bank, you can get your 0.5% or 1%, and no ifs, ands, and doubts about it. Now you can be in other forms of investments that are paying 6, 7, 8, 10, 15. I mean, some of my more favorite ones, I have some REITs, REITs, that are paying 10 to 15%, and in an inclining economy, real estate is looking awfully good, especially commercial real estate and big mortgage blocks, and they're paying very well, and I have a lot of clients that are in those, so those things I like a lot.
Excuse me, I had a cyberspace question that just came in.
Here we go, scary.
And it's right in the area you are. Question is, a 401k was cashed in 2016. And question is, can they defer paying the tax / penalty until next tax year, 2017?
I don't know how.
You cannot, you have to report the distribution on the 401k. The question is whether any of the amount that you withdrew was for an exempt purpose. For example, if you're unemployed, if you took the money out for a disability, or if you're buying a first-time house, they give you up to $10,000, you can withdraw. So there are exemptions. If you don't fit into those rules, then you would have to pay taxes on the value of whatever you took out. The 401k.
So let's just take that example that you just said. A 401k is the same type of instrument as an IRA. The difference between a 401k, you're working for a company, and a company deducts from your paycheck money and puts it into this vehicle called a 401k. And the rules are, when you turn 59 and a half, you can start taking money out of that without paying a penalty, but it's always subject to tax. When you turn 70 and one half, if you haven't taken any money out, the government says, we want you to start taking money out, and they have a formula that goes up a little bit every year for you to take it out. Now, tax-wise, every dime is subject to ordinary income tax, every dime. So now, if they take out too much and they're trying not pay taxes, only hope they've got is to go to the Internal Revenue and tell them exactly what they want, and maybe the Internal Revenue won't charge them a penalty, maybe.
But what if you have a loss in that account?
You know what?
When you liquidate the stock.
It all depends. If it was the final retirement account, in other words, you liquidated everything else, mm-hmm. and this was the last one that you had, then you could take the losses as a Schedule A other 2% deduction.
But that means
all of them have to be gone. If you even had, let's say you had 5 accounts, and this one here is losing money and you close it, no, you can't take those losses. But if you had 5 accounts and you closed the other 4 and this was the last one, then you could take the losses on all of them when you closed the final one, if there were losses.
So if you had $1 million in 5 different accounts and everyone had $200,000 in it and one lost 100 and you closed them all, you'd only pay tax on $900,000. What a good deal. Internal Revenue is going to love you.
Would the age and the employment status of the recipient matter? For instance, this individual is 64 years old, unemployed,
okay,
which is the reason why I think that account was closed. Would that have an impact on
Well, certainly. I mean, if he's over 59 and a half, you don't have the 10% penalty to deal with. You still have income taxes. But the other part, you need to research a little bit more about the unemployed part. Is he actively looking for work? Is he on unemployment? You know.
Those would impact on the tax.
That would impact
on the tax. Well, there's another thing to consider. Let's say it's a husband and wife, and they don't get Social Security income. He's unemployed for a period of time. His taxable income is way low, so he could probably take out a good chunk of money and have no tax consequence because he'd be below the threshold.
Yeah, but to an extent, yeah. I don't know how much these days, because, you know, the standard deduction for a married couple is $12,800.
Right.
And so there is, you know, and you have an exemption for yourself and your spouse, which could be another $8,000 for that. So you might have $20,000 of available offsets.
So if you only made $10,000 in the course of the year, you might be able to take another $10,000 out of the 401k, IRAs, whatever, and you'd have no tax consequences.
Right, exactly. And then you wouldn't have a penalty if you're over 59 and a half.
You know, this is where a CPA on occasion comes in handy.
Occasionally.
Absolutely. It's amazing that they know this stuff.
Every once in a while.
And they
can
sit down and calculate.
I'm sure that QuickBooks doesn't really answer those questions.
Or sometimes, I hate to say it, sometimes tax preparers. There's a difference between CPAs and tax preparers.
You know, it's also nice to have a mortgage broker here today.
Yes.
Mr. Paulus, off the air, before we got started, I asked him a question, and he gave me an interesting answer, and I'd like to focus a little bit. I had read that an article saying that people were starting to get houses quickly because of the proposed rise in interest rates, and Mr. Paulus here said that's true, but there are other factors. Mike, would you like to talk about that a little bit?
I would, Alan. You know, obviously, everyone wants to lock in the lowest interest rate possible, but I really don't think that's the driving force in today's market. I think there's a big population that didn't qualify for a mortgage because they went through the recession and they had some financial situations that came up, maybe a bankruptcy, more foreclosure or short sale. And usually after those events, there's a mandatory waiting period. You know, for example, on FHA, if you have a short sale, you have to wait 3 years after the short sale before you can qualify for an FHA loan. So as we get further and further past this recession, there's more and more people that are now coming back into the market and buying houses. So there's a lot of what we consider first-time home buyers, even though they've owned a house in the past, we consider a first-time home buyer anyone who has not owned a house in the last 3 years.
There you go.
So anyone who meets that requirement now will qualify for these new first-time home buyer programs. And Joe and I were talking a little bit about a program that I just received. It's a first-time home buyer program, and it only requires 1% down, and it's a conventional loan program.
Wow.
So a lot of people that had some issues in the past, maybe, you know, they don't have the savings because of that event. You know, there's still some programs out there that would meet their requirements to get them back in the housing market.
Let me toot Mike's horn just a hair right now, because I mean, one of my favorite stories is a client of mine, a retired banker, says, I'm going to go buy a new house, Joe. And I said, you're going to get a mortgage? She goes, sure. And I said, well, you should call Mike. And she goes, oh, no, I'm a banker. I know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to my bank. So she did. About 3 weeks after she went to her bank, she called me up one day and says, Joe, you got that guy's name still that does mortgages? And I said, yeah, Phil. And I call her Aunt Phil. It was her nickname. I said, Phil, what happened? She goes, you know, I went and I applied for the mortgage at the bank. Everything is good. They love me and everything. 3 weeks later, they turned me down. I said, why'd they turn you down? She goes, I forgot I had co-signed for a loan for my nephew up in Connecticut or something. Mm-hmm. And obviously, the kid either didn't pay or was slow pay. So she called Mike. Mike ran the credit. How long did it take you to cure her to get her approved?
Well, hers was a little tricky because she had blocks on her credit report, so we had to unblock the credit report, run the credit report, and then we found out what the problem was, and then we were able to address it.
Yeah.
But, you know, the problem when you go to some of these larger institutions, you know, it could take you 3 weeks to find out that they can't do the loan, and they knew it, you know, 15 minutes after they took the loan. But, you know, they have to go through the process. Because of liability issues, because of discrimination, possible discrimination suits, et cetera. You know, with a company like mine, I'm not going to waste your time. I'm going to run your credit report. If you're not in a position to get your mortgage now, I'm going to set you up and put you on the right track so you can set yourself up to get a mortgage down the road.
So you can short circuit the process, basically.
Yeah, we're not
getting
big,
right down to the nitty gritty.
You know, we have 19 people that work in our office. You know, we're not, you know, the major banks that have tens of thousands. So, you know, our process is streamlined, and we're going to let you know right off the bat whether we can help you or not.
See, and you don't charge for that.
No.
People can call. You can do this over the phone. You don't start anything. Why waste everybody's time if they can't get approved?
No, we don't even charge you for the credit report. And you should see my credit report bills every
month. I can imagine. 1-888-221-8990.
888-221-8990. Joe, can I interrupt for 1 second?
Of course.
We got a letter from one of our listeners, and they were solicited for an FHA streamlined refinance. And this is, you know, I'm looking at the letter now, and it looks like an official document from the government. But unfortunately, there's a lot of companies that solicit public records, and they can tell whether you have an FHA mortgage, a VA mortgage, a conventional mortgage, and they'll take your information and they'll solicit you with documentation that really looks official, like it's from the government. And this is just a solicitation from a company. So you really have to watch what you get in the mail. It may even say, and I warn all my customers this, when we record a mortgage, it says East Coast Mortgage Lenders, you know, in the courthouse.
Right.
So there's, you know, companies that will use our name and say that, you know, you got a mortgage from East Coast Mortgage Lenders and you're entitled to a refinance or sell you other financial products.
They didn't quite lie to the people, but they led them to believe that it was you calling again. Yeah.
So just be careful about things that you get in the mail, even though it looks like it's from your mortgage company. And a big scam is, you know, loans are bought and sold to other mortgage companies all the time.
Right.
And by federal law, you know, when we sell a mortgage, we have to send a goodbye letter to our customers. And the new mortgage company that we sell the loan to sends a hello letter. Well, if you ever get a hello letter without getting a goodbye letter, that raises a red flag. You need to call your mortgage company and let them know that you received this letter and did they sell the mortgage.
Yeah, it's not too often. How do I phrase this gently? If you have an existing lender and that existing lender calls you and says they're going to refinance you, I would hang up, get their number, and call them back.
Exactly. They may just be probing you for personal information.
And boy, oh boy, have we not all been probed for personal information? And once they get your Social Security number, boy, oh, think about that.
Yes.
How many people have taken advantage of people once they know that information?
Yeah, first of all, if they have your mortgage, they know your Social Security.
They know it, right? They know everything already.
Yeah.
Good point.
Well, in 2008 and 2009, one of the big problems was is people had gotten mortgages when they couldn't even afford to pay the monthly payments. Mm-hmm. And Mike, you mentioned one program that has a 1% down payment, but now things have changed, correct? That you've got to really show that you can make your payments.
Yeah, well, there's part of the Dodd-Frank Act instituted a ability to repay rule. So all those programs that did not require verification of employment, they're all out the window. They're illegal to do at this point.
Let's take another call. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes, hi, this is Rose. I have a question for Mike in reference to the first-time home buyers.
Yes.
I went to meet this individual for first-time home buyers. He said there would be an application fee of $100, and in addition to that, I would have to take like a two-hour class to see if I qualify for the mm-hmm. first-time home buyers program.
Well,
I kind of stayed away because I didn't have the money, and I thought, well, I would never be able to buy a home if that's the case.
Well, first, I would never. I would never pay an application fee. Now, some first-time home buyer programs do require a home buying seminar. The program that I just mentioned just now with the 1% down, that's a Freddie Mac program.
And now, Freddie Mac means it's a government agency, Federal Home Loan Mortgage. Yeah, we all use it that acronym.
Yeah, it's a conventional mortgage, but they require a home buying program that's usually administered by the PMI or private mortgage companies. Now, there normally is a fee for that, and that's typically about $75, but if they're asking you for a home buying course fee and an application fee, I'd be a little leery about that.
Yeah,
that's kind of
pricey.
And really, the home buying course does not determine whether you qualify or not. That's just a mandatory requirement for applying for that mortgage program. Now, any respectable or mortgage company, the only fees they should be taking up front are appraisal fees and possibly credit report fees. And to be honest with you, we don't even charge credit report fees. We just charge the appraisal fee if we get to that point in the transaction.
But stay with this thought just for 1 second. If you were to call Mike Paulus and say, hey, I'm thinking about buying a house, Mike would say, fine, let's run a credit report right now, and we'll find out what your credit is, what you can stand for, and he'll ask you other questions based on what you can afford to pay and do the ratio of income to debt, and he'll let you know what you can and cannot do. All of that he doesn't charge for.
Yeah, and the way I operate, not all mortgage companies do this, but I like to get your loan approved, and then once we get the approval and we see if there's any underwriting conditions that, you know, that are facing us, then what we do, then I'll go ahead and start spending your money on appraisals and these home buying courses, etc. But, you know, I wouldn't want you to waste any money up front without knowing for sure whether we could do that loan.
Okay. What about the other programs that they have? I believe they give you up to $10,000 for a down payment if you qualify for that.
Yeah, there's down payment assistance programs, and we participate in many of those programs, especially up in St. Lucie County. We're very active in that program. The problem with those is that they're only funded, you know, periodically, and all that money comes from HUD. It's administered to the states, and then it's given to the counties to manage. Once that county is out of money, then they're out of money. So you may be approved for, say, SHIP funds, which are down payment assistance programs, but then when you're ready to buy the house, the money's not available. So that's the frustrating part about dealing with that. But there is
so
some.
So what about the an FHA or conventional loan where I can bring down a low down payment on the home?
Well, that's what I had mentioned before. I would really look at this Freddie Mac program. It's called the Freddie Mac Home Possible Program. And we're very unique. We have one particular investor that we sell these loans to, and they negotiated their own contract with Freddie Mac. They're the only ones that have this, as far as I know, that only require 1% down. And not only that, it does not require a monthly mortgage insurance payment. So the payments are very manageable with that program.
Are you sitting at home? Are you sitting at home right now, caller?
No, I am not.
You're driving down the road?
I'm like 5 minutes away from my house.
What I'm trying to say is, you might want to do this after you get home, and you can say, we don't want you dragging a phone number down, but you can call back, and Dave will, in fact, he'll take your number now and have Mike give you a call tomorrow, maybe, so that he can counsel you over the phone and find out what you stand for, and then, you know, that's it. In fact, Pastor Dave just gave him your name and number, so Mike will give you a buzz tomorrow and counsel you and see how he can get you down the road.
Okay, thank you so much for your help.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you, bye.
Thank you.
Hey, Mike, speaking of which, we didn't talk about the USDA program.
Yeah.
Now, there's some parts of St. Lucie County qualify for that, right?
Yeah. Most people don't know this, but the USDA, the Department of Agriculture, also backs loans. And the purpose of their loans is to service rural communities.
Right.
Now, as the population growth around here increases, less and less property, less and less areas qualify for this program. But all of Martin County qualifies for it. It's considered a rural community because the population, compared to the size of the county, is relatively low. So, and that's a program that doesn't require any down payment. It's 100% financing. And it's a 30-year fixed rate. It's a wonderful program. By far, one of the best programs out there.
Are there income restrictions on that, Mike?
There are, but it's you know, most people don't fall into that category. If you have a household up to four, you have to make below $75,000. And if you have, you know, greater than four, say if you have, you know, a husband, wife, and three kids, then that income limit is boosted up to $95,000.
Okay. Is there any portions of Palm Beach County that qualify for that?
Just very few. There's, you know, it's such a populated area, yeah. It really doesn't qualify for that program. But in that case, I think the next best option is this Freddie Mac program with 1% down.
Yeah. When you take
it, you can buy, I mean, there's areas, even with that program, there's income restricted areas. But if you buy in a community that doesn't have restriction, and probably there's 50% of the county in Palm Beach County that would qualify for this.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy a $400,000 house and only put 1% down.
It's $4,000.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and what you do, I'm telling this caller who's driving home right now, call Dad, say, Dad, I've never asked you for anything. I need $4,000.
Yeah, because you know what? That program, as well as all the programs I'm talking about, any cash that you need for closing can come from a gift.
Yeah. Yep. So there's all kinds of things. But here's where that what we try to do as a group and individually as council people, we need to educate you. The old word about an educated consumer sounds like it's trite, but it's the truth. Mm-hmm. You know, you should know what you're doing before you do it. You're allowed to forget it. In fact, how many times have I had clients call me up and say, Joe, tell me what you told me 6 months ago that I forgot? Because we do it every day and we take it for granted. But 1-888-221-8990.
You know, that the reason why I like texting is because you can go back and read it and refresh your memory.
Ah, see? Very good. Well, there's a whole bunch of different things that we're addressing today. Tax code, this is going to be an interesting year for taxes, oh, is it not?
Definitely is. And somewhat a little painful for us because the government keeps putting burdens on us. They chase clients for proof of insurance now. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of New York clientele, and up there they want you to put driver license information on the returns now.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, and they didn't tell us until the middle of January that they had this requirement.
Not. Of course not.
And so we're back chasing all the clients to send in their driver's license.
And they can't wait to help them, right? Yeah, it's kind of an interesting system that every time people says they got new rules to simplify it, that means it went up another 10,000 pages.
Yeah.
Right?
And literally it's time consuming to put these 1095 forms into the system because you got to put in about every month. Some of them, they're not just check the box, you had coverage all year.
Wow.
Some of them you had coverage for 4 or 5 or 6 months, and everyone has just two codes. And there's each month. So each month has two codes, and you got to indicate whether they had coverage in those months. So you could sit there literally for 4 or 5 minutes entering one form. Mm-hmm. Just one form.
Yeah, yeah.
And if they don't have, then I had one client the other day said, I didn't get a form. I said, well, you're only showing coverage for part of the year. Where's there? Oh, I didn't get one. Well, it turns out he did get one. He just didn't realize he got one. But sure. The point is, we're sitting out there now having to be basically the an agent for the government.
Right, hopefully.
To make sure everything they get, everything.
Hopefully that'll go away soon.
too many tax lawyers.
From your mouth to God's ear, right?
Right.
Well, I can tell you, Alan can chime in on this. There's way too many tax lawyers, and the tax lawyers really control what's going on with this tax code.
Well, I think it's a little broader than that. It's the aspect of government policy, how government policy can affect everything from what you pay to how you determine what to pay. And I'm just wondering, Vince, it's your responsibility as a CPA to keep up with these rule changes.
Right. I've got to take another call here.
Yeah, take the call.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, Joe, and Mike, and Dan, and
Victoria. All of us, right? Except,
Vincent. Joe, I just want to say thank you so much for gathering together such a wonderful team of people that just want to help people. And, you know, I'm a nurse by profession, and I just want to thank you so much for gathering together so many people that can help. And right now I'm in a situation where my parents... that's my husband, David.
I figured as much. I thought that in the background.
Yeah, and what I just wanted to say was, by the way, we attend at Love Wings with Pastor Benny Ramos, who is on the radio every Saturday.
Good.
Anyway, what I just wanted to say was that my parents are like in their 80s, and I'm really looking at trying to find some way for some kind of assistance for veterans related to my parents being able to, you know, find a place down here. Because they came down, and you can just see, they live in Massachusetts. Need I say any more as far as the weather is concerned? But
let alone taxes. Taxachusetts, right?
Yeah, Taxachusetts. That's right, Joe.
I will tell you, there is a very, very strong veterans program that will qualify depending on their income. And okay. Do your parents have...
Okay.
Here's the $64,000 question. Do your parents have lots of money?
Well, my parents actually own a home, and my father is very seriously looking at getting to sell it up in Massachusetts.
What would you guess the house is worth if they sold it? How much money?
Well, I'm not really very good at kind of guessing that, but my father actually took a two-story home and put a third level onto it. So, I mean, my father's a master electrician. He has done some incredible things, very, very gifted gentleman. And I'd still add, he's 83 and still doing electrical work.
Is this, are you Italian? Are you Italian or is he in the North End of Boston?
Actually, no, sir. He's in the Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
Well, I get a kick out of this. And Vince is Italian sitting here. That a lot of the Italians have these three-story houses, and the kids are not allowed to ever leave. They just move upstairs.
That's right.
Just keep one family on every level. Every level, right?
Yeah, really. My mom and my dad have been helping us, you know, through all of our years, and now, you know, we've all agreed, older children, adults ourselves, that we're really, as a matter of fact, my parents put their will together before they came down the first week in February, and we're trying our best to try to help them to see if, you know, there's a way that we can help them be able to make a move to Florida.
Let me ask you another question.
So that's kind of why I was inquiring, because I know there's a lot of, you know, veterans that seek for veteran assistance when it comes to mortgages and so forth.
How about their health? Do both of them ambulatory? They don't need assistance doing anything? Or do they?
Well, you know, Joe, when they came down, they both had the assistance, thankfully, which I'd like to just acknowledge for Southwestern Airlines. They were so wonderful to my mom and my dad. They gave them each a wheelchair for traveling through the airport.
Nice.
For the most part, my parents are ambulatory, but I mean, you can start to see that, you know, there's starting to be some concerns. And I'm being a nurse, my sister's said to me that, you know, if there was anybody that my parents would be close by, would be good for me here in Florida.
Here's the reason I'm going there. They have the
sure.
The ADLs, you know, the daily living thing. So you have either you can't walk, you can't bathe, you can't eat, you got a number of different things. If your parents have any one of those, they now qualify for some VA benefits. But one of the problems is it's a catch-22, and you can do some research or I can point you. If they have offsetting income, very often, and this gets pretty complicated, but the parents can set up a trust that takes the money out of their name, and some of the VA benefits go up to $2,000 a month based on their ability to perform these functions of daily living. So I guess where I'm going with this is you left your name and number. I will talk to you.
Yes, I did, Joe.
I'll talk to you off the air and try to see if I can guide you in the right direction. And I actually happen to know one of the retired executives with the Veterans Administration. And he and I were talking about this program this week. And it was just coincidental that your timing is pretty good. Yeah. So let me
excellent.
Do this. I'll get your name and number, and Pastor Dave will give it to me, and I'll give you a call if tomorrow or Friday. And we'll just take. Is there a best time to call you?
Probably would be best is like after 4 in the afternoon, because that's usually when I'm home after one-on-one companion with a young lady. Yeah, so that would be better.
Okay, I'll make a note, and then if I don't catch you tomorrow, it should be Friday. But either way, we'll start conversation. If I can guide you in the right direction and see how we can help you with the parents, that'll be good.
Thank you so much, Joe. God bless you, and God bless your team, and you guys are the tops. Thank you so much.
Now listen, also, for all of these now platitudes, where do I have to send the check?
No, guys. Okay. I'm just grateful for the radio station that we need to get word out more about this kind of availability. I work at Goodwill, and I'm telling you, who doesn't have any one of those issues that you were talking about with your team? So thank you for gathering that together, Joe Martek.
Thank you so much, Caroline. I appreciate it. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care, caller.
God bless you all.
Bless you. Thank you. We got 4 minutes left, so we got time for another caller in case somebody wants to get in. 1-888-221-8990, toll-free from any place.
Before the call, I was talking with Vince, and Vince... How do you get to keep up with all of these government changes and regulations, because if you don't know a new regulation, you may be harming a client rather than helping a client.
Well, you know, fortunately, Alan,
you don't sleep much.
I don't. I mean, that's why I'm tired today. I'm yawning. No, what happens is we get a lot of professional literature, that, especially now in the age of emails and so on. Every day I get a CPA blog. I get it from my state society. I get it from the AICPA. We get updates and bulletins that tells us what's going on in Congress, what new laws may be coming down the pike, or any twists or nuances. And so that's how we keep up. But then, of course, every year I have to take 40 hours of continuing education.
Every year?
Every year.
Wow.
40 hours. And so I'm serious about those things because I want to learn, and I usually take courses in taxes, I take in financial planning, so that I'm able to talk and help clients. I mean, that's what it's about.
Let's see if we can get one more call in here before the show's over. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes, good evening. Hi.
Hi.
I just have a quick question. My daughter gets SSI, and I want to know, is there any program out there that which she could use their SSI check and buy a home?
No, yeah, if it's a permanent disability and that income's going to continue on for the next 3 years, yeah, absolutely, that could be used as permanent income. And normally that's tax-free income, so we're permitted to gross that up by 15% because tax-free income is more valuable than taxable income. So yes, the answer is yes.
All right, now you gave your name and phone number to Pastor Dave when you called in?
Yes, I did.
Okay, let Mike give you a call tomorrow off the air and see how he can counsel you for your daughter. That'd be a good thing.
Okay, that would be a good thing.
Thank you for calling. Much. Bye. Yep. Yeah, you know, I didn't know that, Mike. That's a good
one. Yeah, that is very interesting.
That's just another wrinkle. See, shows to go. You can teach an old dog new tricks. Vince, how you feel?
I'm feeling wonderful. But you better check your text.
Take my text. Luckily, my phone ran out of juice, so I don't have to check it. So 1-888-221-8990. We're just about out of time. We're not going to be able to get that other call, any calls in. But you call the radio station, talk to Pastor Dave or Pastor Tom. They'll take your name and number and cast it on to us, and we'll call you back. If by chance we miss you, don't feel bad about calling again, because except for Vince and Mike, the rest of us are not perfect, and I'm not so sure about Vince or Mike.
Last time I walked on water, Joe.
It was frozen.
It was frozen.
How much time we got left, Dave?
30 seconds.
30 seconds. I think we ought to say goodbye, Mike.
Goodbye. Yeah.
Bye.
Say listeners. Goodbye.
Alan,
God
say
bless
goodbye.
You all.
Mike,
God bless.
Say goodbye. Just Vince, say goodbye. Joe, say goodbye.
Everybody, hey. Remember, at your closing, I think there's contact numbers as well.
Are there?
You listen to the closing, which is going to happen in about 15 seconds.
Don't pay attention. Call Dave. I want you to use him up because I don't want him thinking he's earning his keep without work. Hey, folks, everybody, thank you so much for the calls. We're here to help.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay, let's answer that phone. And
you've been listening to the Team Martech program. The Team Martech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management and ownership
were not responsible for its content.
Oh, but investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice. LS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martech is available at 772-678-7725.
There's an enemy. He's full of hate and full of lies. He is hungry to destroy us, to season and end our lives. He's the ruler of the darkness, and he's waiting for his prey. Son of David, drive the evil one away.